who's amped for this conference today? You guys ready to learn?
I just want a ton.
Woohoo! We have an awesome panel today. So I'm going to introduce Lisa O'Bell and Chad that are going to come up and share a little bit on social media and brand loyalty. Let's give them a round of applause. There we go. So do we have the mic? Somebody? Okay, great. Do you guys want to start by introducing yourselves, your roles, and what you do so people know who you are?
Yeah. Hi, good morning. I'm Lisa Bialecki. I am a Senior Director of Communications at Rust-Oleum. Rust-Oleum is a coatings manufacturer. We also have a bunch of cleaners. So I get to oversee all of the advertising, PR, social media, web development. Have done this for a really, really long time. So when I asked my senior managers if we could advertise on social media, and they were like, don't know what it is, but yeah. So glad to be here.
Here we are.
Obello Brown West. I will put in Hensley as well because my husband hates when I drop it off. I am the Executive Vice President of Digital Innovation and Integration at Weber Shandwick. So that is for North America. That basically means that I work across the Midwest as well as the rest of North America and Canada to help our clients find solutions to further extend their communication strategy into the digital sphere. So very excited to be here.
Awesome. Is coffee kicking in? Everybody all right? See everybody? My name is Chad Burnson. I'm a Senior Director for Content Marketing at a company called Tanium. We're a late-stage pre-IPO startup focused on security and systems management. We're in some of the largest Fortune 100 and government networks in the world. Social is an interesting animal for us because we built our business on the back of word of mouth, getting into a lot of great enterprise and government contracts based on our executive team and the brain trust we've assembled, calling in favors and helping folks take a chance on a fledgling and very exciting startup. And now we need to build some additional digital muscle, and we're forced based on the fact that we don't have all the resources in the world to build and spend a lot to focus our social efforts on those exact buyers and the folks who are going to be in charge of those networks. So excited to be here.
Great. Thanks, guys. So we're going to start with a really specific question. Just kidding. It's how do you build brand loyalty on social? Very general, but it's going to segue into everything that we're doing. So who wants to take that one?
Okay. It's me. So Rust-Oleum has been active on social for a really long time. In fact, we created a website pre-social in 2002 called paintideas.com, where we had people share their project ideas with us, and we celebrated that. And so we've kind of leveraged that celebration of creating a project on your own. And, you know, people do it in their own homes, and it's always been a word of mouth thing. If you go to someone's home for dinner and you compliment them on something, they'll say, well, you know, I painted that or I stained that. And that pride is what we like to celebrate. So social media is a perfect place for that, for us to celebrate what other people are doing, to you know, send surprise and delights when we see somebody sharing a project that they've done. But really, you know, working with influencers as well, people who really love our products and truly, you know, are they're not selling a product; they're sharing an experience. So they are. They are authentic, I think is the word I'm trying to find. Authentic is more important to us than anything. And it's something that you can see in what they do, and you can hear it in their voice, and you can see it in their face. So that is key to everything that we work on.
Change it up a little. So for us, brand loyalty on social is deceptively simple. We land in these large networks throughout the world. We identify who the personas are that are going to have buying power for our technology. And we have to expand over time. We're not going to go down market. It's a little too complex and strategic a sale for that. So when we're able to empower our own people and also drive the content that we're putting out and the engagement we're striving to create with the brand, we're going after more folks in those strategic buying centers in our major customers. Social is challenging in that it gets very difficult to get surgical and to the point where you're stalking people. If you have a list of 100 folks you want to, you know, you want to be attacking as far as likely candidates to engage and be one of those buying centers. But I think a lot of that, and you heard that from Glenn a little bit earlier with Gaggle Imp, also comes down to empowering your own team to build those relationships and not just kind of throwing things out on the brand channel and hoping the right people engage.
What about brand loyalty in social? Because it is challenging. What about, how do you get to ROI for your business or any tangible thing, output that would help your business grow sales, grow advocacy, grow brand perception?
I can start with that one. So there's actually a quote that I love to come back to from Dan Hess. He was the former CEO of Sprint, where he said, I think it was last year, that profitability is actually driven by customer experience and customer loyalty. And so at the end of the day, if you have a positive customer experience, but also customer loyalty, you should be able to measure the impact to your return on investment. So some of the ways that we do that for clients at Weber Shandwick, we try to equate social media to lifetime value. There's always a way, because social is highly measurable, that you can actually pixel someone and then get all the way down to how long they've actually retained themselves as a customer. Other ways that we like to do that is by looking at the bottom line sales impact as well. So yes, lifetime value is great, but from a repeat purchase standpoint, potentially, are you able to see if they've purchased multiple times if you're selling a product? Are you able to see if they've engaged with you multiple times? Are you able to figure out through attribution if they've gone into store, et cetera? So there are lots of ways to measure the overall ROI. I think it comes back to figuring out at the end of the day what your goals are specifically for your social program, because everyone is a little bit different. But those are some of the harder metrics that we try to correlate one for one to overall impact from the bottom line.
We're a little unique because we don't sell direct, so we sell through hardware stores usually. And it's really hard for us to track point of sale data based on their engagement with our social campaigns or any ad campaigns. So we look very closely at brand lift studies, we look at engagement rates, we look at impressions, but what's key is that we still have to correlate that with point of sale. So we have all of these charts and data that kind of give us directional information, but we do, you know, we track it really closely, we see effects, but it is really just kind of trust also.
On a similar note, you know, how are you, what metrics are you using to define success from social media brand loyalty? And then who do you share that with? What does it look like? Are you putting out reports? You know, what kind of outputs are shared to even get back to that point of sale number or whatever your objective is for your business?
I think for us, and you made a really good point, you both made really good points about lifetime value and really being able to track where you have repeat engagement over time. That's been crucial for us, because I think that when we've built enough of an attribution apparatus at this point with a couple of tools that we've managed to hack together in our early days here, that we can tell when key accounts are engaged and downloading the content that we put out or choosing to engage or showing up at our regional or national events based on, you know, social promotions that we've done. So just having that basic cause and effect, you know, did the right people show up? Are the people who are engaging with what you put out doing something important to the company based on the intended action? It seems basic, but breaking it down to the basics of we did this and this happened, and not metricsing our executive team to death has been helpful in building a lot of that.
I think I gave some of the key metrics that we try to correlate, but as far as who we share them with, we're sharing metrics across the entire organization for our client businesses. So every client is different. So sometimes we're talking only to the community management team, and their goals are a little bit different than what the CEO is looking for. but we're measuring everything. So if we're talking to the community management team, they're probably looking for some of the softer metrics that aren't necessarily the CEO's metrics that he's looking for. So we create and craft different reports, different insights, but always regardless of level, regardless of stakeholder, always trying to correlate the activity direct to the bottom line impact so they know that what they are spending with their agency partner is actually going to good use.
We are unique, I think, that our agency will work with us, my team, to get that kind of data, and it's very important to us. But I'm selling to paint salesmen who are going into a hardware store. Their buyer has five hardware stores, and he has to be able to explain why we're not going to be on television this year, but that's okay because we're going to sell a whole lot of stuff if because of this campaign. And so in the past, we had these, you know, very sizzly videos that we would share at our sales meeting. We talk about impressions and engagements and everything's going up, and that's great. And these guys were like totally glassy-eyed, and they had no idea what we were talking about. So we really have had to simplify the message and explain and, you know, in terms that they understand. So we've gone through what the sales funnel looks like and how their customer actually is inspired and they go and purchase through what we're doing. And so I think they finally are feeling more comfortable with that.
Speaking of no idea what you're talking about, I think a lot of people have a challenge defining what brand loyalty means in social. Val, I know that for your clients, you guys probably have had to drive that internally and educate people on it. How do you do that and define it for some of your clients at Weber Shandwick?
I feel like I'm a broken record saying every client's different, but it's true.
Yeah.
they are. And for us, it starts with two things. Who are you actually trying to talk to? So are we trying to talk to the paint buyer? Are we trying to talk to the B2B channel? Or are we trying to talk to the millennial? Because everyone wants to talk to millennials. Are we trying to talk to the baby boomer? I think it starts with figuring out who the audience is and figuring out what they need in order to take action, which then leads to the next step of what is the goal? Because social, I think, for a number of years has been this thing over here, but now increasingly it is becoming a core part of the marketing plan and a core part of the marketing program. So as such, where does it fit within the larger scope of what it is that you're trying to achieve? And that's where we get to the definition of what brand loyalty means, specific to the strategies and the tactics that we're putting into market. So it's hard to give it a blanket definition because it really does depend on audience and goal. And that's what we try to establish from the very first conversation that we have with clients as we're building out our programs.
It almost goes back to building your social media strategy. What are your KPIs and objectives first? And then driving through whatever product or service you're promoting at that time for a campaign to increase that loyalty. Maybe build in some influencer marketing, whole other subject, you know, and see what you can obtain for the business.
Yeah. And actually, just to add to that, like I would say one of our agency's largest clients, almost $10 billion organization, I won't say who, but what's interesting is that for years they were not in social media. We got them to invest in social media a couple years ago. They saw amazing results as far as bottom line impact, but at the same time they were also seeing a ton of erosion in overall lifetime value. We started talking to them about the fact that if you look at net promoter score sentiment, things like that, and metrics that, again, they had not been in social media, so metrics that they were just not familiar with because they thought in television and thought that that's all they needed to do. But hard metrics that they could look at to help analyze how they were getting to this erosion, they completely pivoted the social program, which was strictly to drive a ton of sales for them. They pivoted it to a social loyalty campaign program, because for them, again, going back to Dan Hess, they knew that if they could make the experience of the customer better and find better ways to communicate with their customer base, and social is one of the only places that you can do that, that it would effectively impact their bottom line down the road instead of just trying to be very DR focused and social, which is what they were doing. And so far, the results have been great. The program's been going for 6 months. We've actually captured more than we did when we were just DR focused. So I think, yes, to your point, it's the same strategy. We had to start again with, okay, if that's the objective and we know who our audience is, how do we actually achieve that within social? And that's how we defined what loyalty would look like for them.
Real quick, can you explain DR for those that might not be familiar?
Direct response. Sorry. So that's just the flashing buy now signs mm-hmm. that you see everywhere.
Most measurable TV before social.
Exactly.
Most measurable way to buy.
Exactly.
Question for you all. How many of you have a really, let's call it a really good, a scientific measurement, a really good handle on the people you're trying to engage with? How they like to consume content, who they are, what their role is in purchasing?
Anybody?
You have that nailed? Nobody?
I think that's the ultimate question, right?
Well, you're like, in the right place.
Yeah, this is where you're here to learn it.
we've what we've found and which has caused us to rethink a lot of how we engage on with our brand channels and also on social in general, whether paid, earned, or owned, is that that changes all the time these days. Whether it's folks, particularly of that millennial generation, moving into hybrid roles, different forms of influence that come into play when these big purchasing decisions are made. Just to kind of give an esoteric example in our space, over the past year or two, in a lot of our sales meetings and a lot of our regular engagements, we started to see the emergence of a role that we hadn't much encountered in selling to chief information officers and chief information security officers, and that's that of what's called the IT architect, which is someone who doesn't have deep domain expertise in any one area of kind of the whole technology stack up, but really kind of sees things as an architect would, understanding how to build infrastructure and lay out corporate systems in such a way that all the individual pieces can do their job. And I, as we've started to get to know this, here comes a dirty word, but persona a little bit more, we've started to understand all the ways that they engage and on social, and they're not spending a lot of time consuming content from LinkedIn and Twitter and spending time in our communities. They're slacking all day. They're on Reddit arguing with each other all day long. They're consuming sizzly video, but it's coming in random places like Twitch, and not to say we need to get hung up on new platform fatigue or be in all these places we weren't before, but it's been humbling to understand kind of where the action is and where we thought it was. So I think point being, changes all the time.
So for us, our challenge is reaching the first-time homeowner who's 30-ish, 32. They're millennials. They have no idea what our products are. They just bought this house. They have no money. So we need to introduce them to our brands and introduce them to spray paint. So we call it the hook, right? Like if you try it once, you're in it. You're going to spray paint everything. So our biggest challenge is to get them to try that one product, that one project, inspire them. They're on Pinterest. They're looking for us. They're looking for solutions. Our competition maybe isn't another spray paint, but it's Pottery Barn or Target or wherever else they're buying things. So we have to show them how easy it is and celebrate the idea that you don't have to be perfect. It's good enough. Nobody's going to notice if it's not perfect. But then once we get them, then we hope they're addicted to Rust-Oleum and they'll use our products all the time. And then maybe they'll try stain next time. So we want to be that solution and be where they are. But they're definitely on social and they're researching. And so, it's the content that we can build that makes them loyal to us.
Well, and there's a lot of word of mouth advocacy that comes with that, right? Because mm-hmm. Think about it, your friends, family, sister, brother, whoever it is, if they tell you about something in person, you're more likely to utilize that brand or product. And if you go online and then share it with the world, it becomes that word of mouth advocacy that allows people to connect. And if I see somebody who I think is influential, say Ryan posts about a brand or something fun, I'm going to be like, now I'm going to follow that brand, and then I'm going to build my advocacy. So that cyclical process is what does eventually help drive sales. And I think the challenge is always, especially McDonald's, how do we use social to drive back to the restaurants? Or how do you drive Pinterest all the way through to point of sale in a hardware store that you don't own that's not off, direct from your website? So
right.
It's a challenging world, but you guys, how do you really get people to understand what brand loyalty means. Like, what do you think is maybe some of the most common mistakes or things that are oversawn by people around brand loyalty?
I think there has been a challenge with, in general, brands being, millennials especially, being loyal to any brand. We have a product that we launched nationally that we took a brand that had been around for 50, 60 years off the shelf, and we did a bunch of research, and the consumers, there's about 11 million people who use this type of product, they said, I care about the color, I care about where I shop, and I care about I trust the product, but they didn't care about the brand as much. So we were very surprised because we've been around for nearly 100 years. We feel like people should really love us, right? But I mean, I guess we want them to love us more maybe than they do. They love the results.
I think for most brands, the biggest hurdle to brand loyalty on social is that they think it's optional. It's actually not optional. Like, every brand needs to figure this out because, as I was saying previously with one of my clients, it is the only medium where you can actually engage with your customer. And so you have to actually be there. And if you're going to be there, how do you actually foster a relationship with them, which is ultimately fostering loyalty? And so it's surprising to me the number of clients that I talk to that think it's an option to be on social or to actually engage in social as opposed to just, again, buy now or posting about the latest sale or just posting about themselves and not having a two-way dialogue. So I think that's the biggest misconception, is that it's an optional channel when it's probably the most important communication channel that you have today.
Customer service, everything, absolutely everything, extending all the way out to social as well. In IT, where more than ever, IT services are being consumed via the cloud and brand loyalty waivers, because when you're consuming IT the same way that you pump gas in your car, you're there and there's gas there and you need gas, and you stick the hose in and the gas comes out, and if it's cheaper across the street, you're just going to go over there. There's not a whole lot of brand experience that happens, and it's something you need to power your business, power your car, make things go. So you're going to go with the best option. So how do you differentiate in a space where so much of that is becoming almost anonymous? They remember your service and your support model and what you can offer that's beyond buy this.
True. What's the biggest myth around brand building and social that you guys want to bust?
Hard question. I think we've covered that a little bit. I think that it happens fast. That it doesn't take daily work. That with a couple of well placed ads and some good campaigns and a nice fat bump in conversion based on whatever you have out there today, it's going to last. We, like so many, have a leadership team that wants to see the results of marketing right away, and all the conversions come raining down, and it really does take consistent effort over time. I can't think of another way to do it.
Yeah, I think that it's optional. I would just add on top of that that it would be consistent across all channels. It's not, because again, like, this is the one place where you actually have a voice as opposed to just pushing your messaging. You really have to create what it is that your voice is within social. It can't be the same potential brand voice that you have everywhere. It needs to be consistent. It needs to be matching luggage. But because you are 24/7 within social, it has to be a lot deeper and richer. So I think outside of it being optional, just making sure that you're actually taking a hard look to what it is that your actual brand voice is.
To add to that, I think Chad brought up a good point that your product support is active on social, and they are an extension of your brand, and the experience the consumer has with product support is so important. And you know, we can identify opportunities to make our products better, opportunities to create new products, but to really listen to them and care about what they're saying is so important.
For sure. We mentioned channels a little bit. Obviously, it depends on your brand. It depends on your client. But what are some of the channels that you've seen from your experience that have really driven brand loyalty for you in social media?
I think for us, Pinterest has been kind of like the best social invention ever. So we have, they were just talking to us and they said, you know, there are more wedding boards on Pinterest than there are weddings in the US every year. And it's, you know, everybody planning, it's a secret board, it's your mom, whatever. But all of those, the opportunity for us to target people who are really planning a project or a life event, if they're having a baby or a wedding's great. Like, everybody's spray painting ball jars. We thought that was going to go away, and we're so happy it's not. Keep on doing it. But really being able to look at behaviors and trends and create new products and interact and create projects and ideas in that perfect space, for us it's ideal. Other channels like Twitter, you know, it's more of our PR tool than anything else. So I think, you know, focusing really on where we can inspire is important to us.
Pinterest. For us, it feels like kind of a classic answer, but we know who our buying centers are. We know who the people are who work in those buying centers and have purchasing power, and 99.9% of them are active on LinkedIn. So if we're not being surgical in how we target our LinkedIn content, we've blown it.
Okay, cool. So
I'm like, it's going to be a broken record, so
well,
we can just...
Well, no, I know. It depends. I have the same answer. So we want to take some questions from the audience. Does anybody have any questions for our panelists today? Ryan will bring...
Well, don't worry about it. So what we're going to do, we don't really have one mic, so if you can just shout out your question, and they're going to just repeat it, so that way it's in the audio recording. It's very complicated, but go ahead.
Any questions? Yeah, so speaking to the question was framed around brand loyalty in a B2B space and understanding share of voice and what that means to basically deliver results back to your team.
Great question. Share of voice and how we measure share of voice, whether it's in PR terms or in social terms, is about as slippery and challenging as it gets other than attribution. And I think, I mean, just from personal experience, we've tried every flavor of figuring out how often we're showing up in association in the social sphere to keywords versus a lot of our competitors. And there is some value in being able to show that data. It's often difficult to get that data and sharpen it without the help of folks who have spent 10 years in data or library science to get the algo just the way you want it. But I think overall, you do have to demonstrate that you're out there, you have a consistent narrative, and spend at least as much time, if not more time, focused on, yes, are people engaging? Yes, are you showing up more often than a lot of your competitors? But does the stuff you're putting out there look good? Are people actually engaging with it? Are the right people spending time? I'm less enthusiastic these days about a competitor versus competitor comparison on social than us compared to our previous selves. And if we have 50 more followers this month and they're the right followers and they're all in the right buying centers, I don't really care what my direct competitor is necessarily doing on social.
I can add a little color to that. I think a lot of it actually can turn into employee advocacy, because share of voice is super strong for your customer base, even if it's a B2B, you know, business. But driving loyalty through the people that know the brand the best is actually the most way to get the best influencers and persuadables and thought leaders to be talking about your brand as well. So LinkedIn is a huge, huge opportunity, and now they're building out a lot of their metrics, their back-end reporting, their advertising strategies. It's way more robust than what it used to be even 6 months or a year ago. And your employees have 10 times more reach and advocacy for your brand than the actual business page. So So if you can empower people from within, including your CEO, leadership, whoever you're talking to start talking about your brand, think about your networks and all the little circles that you run in across every single network you have. If you see something on LinkedIn, sure, it might stay on LinkedIn, but it might also go to Facebook, Twitter, you know, Pinterest, Instagram, wherever else. And that means that you have that extended reach, all those added impressions, and that's what attributes, you know, a larger share of voice for your company. So, you know, try to hone in on those services that are available and the ways that you can utilize, you know, LinkedIn, I think, a little bit more strongly in groups and your company page. They still showcase pages for certain products, et cetera. Getting those people to engage is a really great way to drive, you know, larger share of voice for your business. Any questions? Who else? Who's got our next one? Yes. Great question. So how do you engage with different audiences across different platforms to build brand loyalty? Any takers?
So we have similar schizophrenic audiences. So I'll use Woodstain as an example. So there are about 11 million woodworkers out there, and they build stuff and they stain stuff, and they are very specific about how they want to be spoken to. They don't want to, you know, they want very technical information. At the same time, someone who just saw a really cool shelf at West Elm and they want to create that look and they've never done it before, we have to speak to them completely differently. So we definitely use very succinct target audiences. We say, you know, it's laser focused, and the messaging is very unique to them. And at one point, I think we were talking to our sprinkler rep and we had like 250 target audiences based on behaviors and the number of products we have. But I think it's really important to talk to a parent completely differently than how you would talk to a teacher than a student, because a student cares about having a good time and learning, and the parent's like, is my kid going to be safe? And yeah, so it's important. It's a lot of work, but it's really valuable.
I was going to say the same thing. I think if you have a paid social mentality, and also a budget, it is very easy to make sure that you're being very specific with the different audiences that you're speaking to. Actually, who asked the question? Because I can't see anything. Hi. Okay, I'm going to go back here. Yeah, it's very easy to be specific, creatively, targeting-wise, et cetera. I think where the pickle comes in is when you are also fostering that organically, and that's also from the community management responding standpoint. And the best way to handle that is really figuring out, of course, like every brand has multiple audiences, right? But who is your primary? Who is actually driving the bulk of your business? And focus on a middle of the road voice that is most palatable to them. So yes, you can target and be very specific on the paid side, but when it comes to the actual dialogue one-to-one, you will look very schizophrenic and crazy if you're trying to speak in 10 different voices. You can't do that. So you really have to hone in and make a somewhat tough decision on who is it that you actually are as a brand and who is it that you're actually trying to talk to, and finding a middle of the road voice in order to do that organically.
Yeah, I think a huge importance for you, especially on Facebook and Instagram, is using what Abel said to target that right audience through paid, because Instagram is heavier than ever on sponsored posts. And you'll notice, even if you just ask the people sitting at the table, you guys are all getting served different types of ads based on who you are and what you know. And even if you've never heard of a brand or a business, or you're not a student, et cetera, you know, you can still see the different types of targeting methodologies that they now have available that are, you know, Facebook's top priorities, because that's how they make money. So finding the right audiences, but also having that middle of the road strategy for just your organic content is an easy way to win. And then doing some testing too, you know, like what if we did 4 different ads targeted to the same audiences? Which ones are performing? Is it content? Is it copy? Is it creative? Is it video? Is it photos? You know, just trying things out a little bit more and taking time to do that and analyze it. Because if you're just like, I think this will work, let's see if it does, you know, it might stick, it might not. And then what do? You have to try again, but you have to have the data to inform your strategy to evolve what you're doing. So.
And just to add, I think to that great point, I think it's amazing still how many folks don't spend enough time or go light on A/B testing, ABC testing, whatever we're calling it this week. It's a drag to set up, and it takes a lot of work, and it's a lot of cutting and shaping and molding and looking at data. It really is important. Pick three options, figure out what's working and why. I think a lot of folks are still just not spending the time to do that the right way.
For sure. All right, well, we're running out of time, so we're here to answer questions for any other ones that come up in the break, but thank you, and thanks to our esteemed panelists for giving us their insights on brand loyalty. Thanks, everyone.